Only my top 100. But that is truly one of my favorite songs. Because all that I am is because He raised me up. I love that song. Thank you, Kathy, and accompaniment, for sharing that with us this morning. And truly may we allow the Lord to raise us up, to be more than we can ever think that we can be. Today, be assured that God can do great and wonderful and amazing things in and through you. I wonder today, will you really just genuinely let Him raise you up? I hope that you will. Have you ever been given a responsibility? One you wanted, or maybe one you didn't want? I believe most of us would probably say, yeah, that's happened to me a time or two. Truth is, there are many opportunities, dreams, visions that can be overwhelming, big, and sometimes scary. And sometimes you might even contemplate whether you could or should accept that responsibility. And so a natural response often happens in us. We have a sense of hesitation. Or maybe we even begin to start making excuses of why we can't do this or do that. Actually, it's a common reaction when we're faced with a big responsibility. One we want, or even one we may not want. And history tells us that people have been making excuses for not doing what should have been done or what the Lord asked of them for thousands of years. And so if we're on the edge of making a decision of what the Lord wants in our life or what direction we need to go, I want you to know you're not the only one that's ever been in that place, and you'll not be the last. And you won't be the only one that's maybe hesitating or maybe beginning to make excuses to God why I can't do this or why I can't do that. In fact, there's a very prominent figure in the Old Testament who did that very thing. We often refer to him as Moses. Now, of course, you know who Moses is. One of Israel's greatest leaders. Even today, they still refer to Moses as one of the greatest leaders of the nation of Israel. Moses was given an amazing assignment from God to lead His people out of Egypt. It's the kind of opportunity that comes around once in a lifetime, if you're lucky. And yes, the greatest leader in the nation of Israel, Moses, when Moses was presented with the opportunity to do such a task for the Lord, even Moses was hesitant and began to make excuses to the Lord. So we're going to think about Moses for a little bit this morning. As we think about the thought, who, me? Yes, you. I still believe the Lord is calling. And He says a great responsibility for each of us. Just as He called Moses to a great task, I believe that He's calling us, not just as a church, but as individuals, to His will and to His way. And so next few moments, may we walk in Moses' shoes for just a few moments, and we might even say, you know, I'm thinking the very same thing. but yet recognize today that it is God who is calling. And we should be responding. And we see Moses' story in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And so let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would, and let's turn over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3 this morning. We're going to start our reading at verse 1. Very familiar scripture. I know you're familiar with. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Appreciate if you'd stand for the reading of the Word. We hope those of you that are at home are and joining us this morning have your Bibles and joining us as we look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 this morning. And there the Word shares with us. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to Horeb, the mount of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of the fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning without fire, with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore behold the city of the children of Israel has come to me. And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Join us this morning in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to come into your house and to worship you. Thank you so much for the songs today, the time we had in prayer, the fellowship that we have when we come together as the body of believers. But Lord, as we come to your word this morning, may you stir our heart and may you stir our mind, and may we today recognize that we have no reason to hesitate or to make excuses, Lord, for doing your will, because you'll be ever near us and you'll be able to see us through no matter the circumstances. And so Lord, I ask that you would just simply come and move upon us this morning as only you can. We ask in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning, but as you are, I want to draw your attention back to verse 10 this morning as God shares with Moses, Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. My, what an opportunity that God was calling Moses to. The opportunity to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. How exciting that must have been. You would think that Moses at this point would be like, I can't believe this. God has given me this tremendous responsibility. I'll have the privilege of returning to Egypt and addressing Pharaoh on behalf of my people. That's not at all what Moses did. In fact, Moses shared five, mind you, excuses of why he should not be the one to return to Egypt and lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Mind you, Moses is addressing God. And God says, I want to send you to Pharaoh. I want to use you, Moses, to lead my people out. I've heard their cry. I've seen their oppression. I'm going to set them free. And I'm going to use you to do it. I can see in my mind that Moses takes a step back and clears his voice for a moment. And he says to the Lord, who? Me? And then I know it didn't go quite down like this. And the Lord says, yes, you. And I believe today, God is saying still, yes, you. And we are still saying, who? Me? Yes, you. And in that moment, Moses said to the Lord, first excuse, who am I? In fact, he says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses' first excuse was simply, Lord, who am I? Apparently Moses had been doing a great job tending to his father's flock, or his father-in-law's flock, to his sheep on the backside of the desert, doing a great job of that. But in the mind of Moses, leading a nation seemed like a tremendous jump from leading sheep to leading people. And that jump was too big for him. And so he says to the Lord, who am I? Who am I that I should do that? I think it's interesting in our passage of Scripture, no matter how far you read through this passage as the Lord is dealing with Moses in regard to his call, that God didn't try to convince Moses he was capable. Because that was the question on his mind. Moses was saying, who am I? If you know the life of Moses at all, Moses had some tremendous failures in his life. And he's questioning in his own mind, who am I to do such a thing? And so God never tries to convince Moses that he was capable. God simply said to Moses that he would be with him. His presence would be enough. Truth is, God's presence is always enough. It's more than enough for whatever God is calling an individual to. Today we probably would recognize in our own life we aren't any different than Moses. We often question our qualifications when the Lord says, yes, you. And we say, who, me? Lord, you really want me to do that? Do you realize who I am? What I've done? Where I've been? As if God didn't know that. And so we question our own qualifications. It still amazes me today that God called me into the ministry. You might say, why is that, Pastor Mike? Well, because I hated, and I'll tell you, absolutely hated, getting in front of anybody and saying anything. And when I said the Lord raised me up this morning, I mean that. To be able to step in the pulpit and share the Word of God, it's God raising me up. And so when God called me, I had some questions about, what are you doing, Lord? But His presence is always sufficient. And so the truth is, we aren't any different than Moses often. We question if we're qualified for whatever it is that God is calling us. I want you to know this morning that God's presence in our life is enough for us to accomplish the task God has for us. The reason Moses was able to return to Egypt is because of God's presence in him. The reason we can accomplish whatever it is that God is calling us to, it will be because of God's presence in us. The work of the Holy Spirit working through us. Because when it comes to the work of the kingdom, there isn't any of us that is qualified. It's God working in us that allows us to accomplish the work of the kingdom. But Moses, the great later leader of Israel, said, "Who am I?" And we often find ourselves saying, "Who am I?" You would figure that might be sufficient as Moses shared with God, but it wasn't. So not only did Moses say to the Lord, "Who am I?" His second excuse to the Lord was, "What am I going to say?" We see that in Exodus chapter 3 in verse 13 that shares with us. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to the God of your father, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Moses' second excuse was, "What am I going to say? What am I going to tell them? Really, Lord? I'm going to step back into Egypt, gather the nation of Israel, and say to them, 'The Lord has called me to deliver you.' Really? That's what's going to happen?" That's kind of what was rolling around in Moses' mind. Moses wondered, like we all would, what exactly does someone say when you march into a hostile land and try to convince an entire nation it's time to leave? That'd be a tremendous obstacle, no doubt. And so Moses says, "Lord, what do I say?" God told Moses that he was simply to tell the people that he was sent by God. He says, "Here's what you tell the people. You tell them, 'The great I am has sent you.'" That's what you tell them. And if you read long enough, you'll find that's exactly what Moses does. Eventually. Moses didn't have to know the precise words to say in the moment. And I want you to know today, neither do we. When we say, "Lord, what do I do? What do I say? How do I accomplish this?" Truth is, we don't need to know everything. Moses didn't. Neither did we. Knowing the fact that God had sent him should and would be enough. It always has been. Have you ever read the Bible? Maybe once or twice. Maybe you've probably done that. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so, because you're going to find it when God says, "If you do this, this is going to happen." It's going to happen. It always befuddles me that we say that we are people who serve a God who can do anything, and the Lord says, "I want to send you," and we say, "Oh, can't do that." Isn't that perplexing? We're people who says faith can move a mountain. Lord said, "Has faith." "Oh Lord, I'm really struggling here." I'm not trying to make light of struggle, because it's real. Hesitation and excuses become very real in our life when God is calling. They were very real in Moses' life, as we see right here. But believe it or not, Moses makes a third excuse of why he can't return to Egypt, which we'll see in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "What if they don't believe or listen to me?" And so we see Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, this is after the Lord said, "You tell them the great I am has sent you." Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to me or to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" Moses saying, okay, Lord, if I go there and I'm going to tell them that the Lord has sent me to deliver, to be used to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egypt. The Lord has sent me, the great I Am has sent me. Yeah, right, Moses, sure, yeah. We've heard this all before. You've run that around in your head, haven't you? Well, we've tried everything before. We run that around in our head, and so was Moses. He said, what did they say? You didn't come to me. What? You're just making this up. Truth is, Moses had his doubts about how this message would be received. Just like we often do. We're probably not much different than Moses when God is calling. He probably even wondered if they would like him. You've never wondered that, have you? Or if they would respect him. Moses was feeling a tremendous sense of hesitation, questioning who he was, why God would call him. God said he'd give Moses some signs, and that it was ultimately him, God, not Moses, that would make the people believe. Moses said, well, what if they don't believe me? I don't know, and maybe you don't see this, but I do. I can see God going. He says, all right, Moses, here's what I'll do. I'll give you a sign. He says, what is that in your hand? Well, Lord, that's a staff. You throw the staff down, it'll become a snake. You know the story. And it does. And he picks it up and it becomes a staff again. He says, stick your hand in your cloak and it'll become leprous and take it out and show it and put it back in and it'll be healed again. I'll give you some signs so they'll believe. You would think by now Moses would get this ideal that God is calling him and that God is going to be with him. That God is going to convince the people that Moses was called by God. Yet Moses still struggled. Moses' job was to be faithful and God would take care of the rest. Faithfulness has always been our job. And the rest has always been God's. And so today, if you are in front of the burning bush, whatever it might be, and God is saying to you, I want to send you. I want to call you. I want to use you. I want to do something great in you. Your job today is simply to say, okay, Lord, and be faithful. Yet even this great leader of the nation of Israel still said to the Lord, even at this point, all that God has done and all that God has shared with him, all that God has done at this point, Moses is getting desperate. And he says to the Lord in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, I'm not the best communicator. In other words, I don't speak well. And so he says, then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since you've spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I don't know about you, but I think you can feel this desperation begin to build in Moses because God is calling. And Moses says, Lord, I don't speak well. I don't communicate well. I couldn't help think this. Moses didn't have the blessing or the curse of listening to podcasts or other communicators as we do today. Boy, there's some eloquent speakers out there. Moses says, I'm not one of them. Moses was pretty sure that there were others who could speak much better than he could. I mean, after all, this is a really big task. To Moses, it was obvious that God should send his best communicator on this assignment because he's going to Pharaoh, remember? Pharaoh is the king of the greatest nation on earth at this point. It probably ought to be the best communicator. That makes good sense, doesn't it? In Moses' mind it did, and probably in ours, as we're sorting through what God is asking us to do, our hesitation and our excuses probably make good sense. But isn't it interesting that God's ways are not our ways? And the way God does things is certainly not the way we do things. And I think we've noticed by now, if we've read the Bible, been in Sunday school, or even been in church any length of time, that God uses the most peculiar people to accomplish some extraordinary things. Moses being one of them. And we can name name after name after name of just ordinary, everyday, Martin County type people. Smile, come on now. That God has used to do some extraordinary things. And because Moses wasn't this eloquent speaker, because an eloquent speaker should go to Pharaoh, after all, he's the king of the greatest nation on earth at this time. This meant in Moses' mind that he would get a pass from the call of God. Note if you would, God didn't say he would make him eloquent, but he did say he would give Moses the words to speak. In fact, if you look into the scripture and dig a little deeper there, you would find that God even said to Moses, "Who made man's mouth?" Basically, it was saying to Moses, "Who do you think made you speak like that anyway?" If God called him, he would give him the words to say. He always has. In fact, he says, "I'll send Aaron." And you'll find in the scripture, in fact, Aaron was already on the way. And I love what God said to Moses, because Moses is in this hesitation. I'm making excuses of why I can't do this. And he says, "I know Aaron speaks well." Remember this morning, if God is calling you, He will give you everything you need for the task at hand. Whatever God is calling you to do, whatever God is asking of you, He will give you everything you need to accomplish the work of the kingdom. Yet all that's unfolded, excuse one, excuse two, excuse three, excuse four, still, Moses, this great leader of the nation of Israel, takes one last effort at convincing God that he was not the individual for the job. He simply says to God, picture this if you would, "Please send someone else." Well, we know one thing about Moses. There's so much to learn about Moses in this. Moses has got a lot of nerve. He may not think he's the guy to address Pharaoh, but do you see what happened in here? Pharaoh is nobody compared to the God of Israel. And he says to the God of Israel, "Please send someone else." We see in Exodus 4, chapter 13, "But he said, Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." He simply says, "God, please send someone else." At this point in the narrative, it's as if Moses said, "God, let's just be honest. Forget about all the other excuses I've made. Here's the truth. Even if we're honest, I just don't want to go. So please send someone else. Have we ever been there? Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, I can't do that. Lord, you're send someone else. There's somebody better at this. There's somebody more qualified. That's what Moses was saying. I think if we think about when God is calling us, we'll find us doing the same thing. But God, being the God who He is, didn't let Moses off the hook. Instead, while Moses was trying to get out of the task, God was bringing him some help. Of course, in Aaron. God knew what help Moses needed to get the job done, and He brought it to him. He always has. He always will. The truth this morning is, if God is calling, He will send the help necessary to accomplish the task. Well, if you continue to read through the first few chapters of Exodus, you'll find that at excuse 5, Moses recognized that God was very serious. In fact, you'll find that God was a bit upset with Moses. But Moses reluctantly accepted the call of God. And we know the story. Moses, this one who had such hesitation, made excuses before the Creator of the world, became the greatest leader that Israel has ever known, and became the vessel in which God delivered the nation of Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh. What amazing unfolding events that happened in the life of Moses, all because he said yes to the Lord. I want you to be encouraged this morning that if God is calling, He's got great things ahead. I'm going to encourage you not to let hesitation and or excuses keep you from what may be a once in a lifetime experience with God. He has great things for you. That's going to make an eternal difference in the life of someone else. Someday, you'll look back and reflect on your life. It tends to happen as you get older. You look back and say, oh, I wish you this, or I wish I didn't do this, or I wish I'd have done that. And so when you look back at some point in your life, and you reflect on it, I hope you don't find yourself saying, I wish I would have done that for the Lord. I wish I would have done that for the Lord. I'm sure Moses at some point, as he most likely reflected on his life, realized he would have missed all the things God did if he had given in to his hesitation and his excuses. Imagine what would have happened. All that Moses would have missed. Have we ever thought about the things we've missed because we haven't said yes to the Lord? And truth is, unfortunately, leaders have been using the same excuses for several thousands of years. The same excuses we probably use today when God is calling. God has been faithful to all those that don't give in to those excuses or that hesitation of not accepting His will for their life. So today, I wonder, what are you dreaming about? What do you think God is calling you to do? Because I'm convinced God is still calling. There's still a great work to be done. Believe it or not, there are still people who need to be delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh. They're saying, Pastor Mike, that's Old Testament. That's real in our day. There are still people who are enslaved in sin. There are still people who are enslaved to alcohol and drugs. And the list would go on and on. And I still believe that God is raising up and calling Moses to deliver, to be a vessel. To be the one who goes to those and helps lead them out of captivity into the promised land. Truth is, we need to stop being hesitant and making excuses about the work of God. We need to do our part. And we need to let God do His. He is faithful. He always has been. He always will be. The work of God is just as real today as it was as Moses stood on Mount Horeb before the burning bush and spoke to Creator God. He said, Moses, I want to send you. It's just as real today. And God is still saying, I want to send you. I want to use you. Church, if we don't accept the call of God, who will? Sometimes we're convinced, well, somebody else will. Somebody will do that. We come to find out sometimes nobody does that. Isn't it time to do the work of the kingdom? To allow the Lord to raise us up and to take us to places we've never been before. Truth is, I believe that COVID has robbed the church of at least a year and maybe a year and a half of ministry. And churches today are still struggling. Some haven't even gathered again. In some places. And maybe today we're a little hesitant. Maybe we still have that rolling around in our mind. Church scholars and in the church world, they're talking about the effects of COVID may last for 10, 15 years on the church. Maybe we're still a little hesitant. Maybe we're still a little afraid. But I believe it's time that we regather and we continue the work of God. I believe it's time we say, yes, Lord. There are great days ahead for the church. There's great days ahead for Dover Hill. There's great days ahead for you this morning because God is still on the throne and God is still calling people just like Moses, people just like us, to accomplish amazing things for the kingdom. All we've got to do is step out on faith and say yes, Lord. Say yes to the call. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Let's stand together this morning. Praise team's going to come. They're going to share with us this morning.